what the longest journey you've ever been on is. Now, for some of us, we might immediately think of long plane rides or train journeys, perhaps a long trip in a car. Now, if we were together, I'd probably try and get you to shout out the different answers and we'd figure out who had been on the longest journey. Now, perhaps if you're really keen to still share that, feel free to drop it in the comments. Maybe afterwards we can figure out who's been on the longest journey. For me, my longest flight straight away came to mind was the 14 hours I spent on a plane coming back from Kigali in Rwanda to London a couple of years ago. But journeys are far more than just the distance travelled or the time spent travelling, aren't they? I wonder, since we went into isolation, how many of you, like me, have made the most of our one permitted exercise time each day to go for a walk? There's some waves in the room. I know for me, my 30 minutes to an hour walk is one of the highlights of my day. Getting outside, breathing fresh-ish air, and walking around the parish. Now, I didn't think I'd ever be claiming in a sermon that daily walks had become one of my favourite things to do, but these are strange times. Of course, there are also journeys that are not just about travelling or walking, but more about a journey we go on emotionally or physically throughout seasons in our lives. Maybe it was a marathon walk through a sickness or an ill health. Perhaps it was a journey towards reconciliation or separation, a walk towards answers or new beginnings. And this morning we find ourselves thinking about our journeys with Jesus. This lifelong walk through the highs and lows of life with our Saviour that begins with a realisation of who Jesus is, with the chance to step out in faith and see where it leads, and a growing walk that goes on throughout the whole of our lives towards an eternal destination, but one that affects our present reality too. This morning, where are you at in your walk with Jesus? Is he your companion on the road and you don't fully realise what that fully means? Is he the one that's guiding you? Is he the one that's propping you up and pushing you along on that tough part of the walk? Is he the one helping you across particularly rocky terrain? Or is he the one sitting with you by still waters this morning? We're going to jump into scripture together and we're going to see what God might want to encourage us and challenge us with today. Now, our reading from Luke this morning sees two disciples on the road to Emmaus, a town 7 miles walk away from Jerusalem. Now, we're still on the first Easter day, but we're now on the road out of Jerusalem. Two travellers on a road away from the other disciples, walking away from these events that have filled them with sorrow, walking away with dashed hopes that Jesus had been the one that was going to save them. They're walking away from the pain, they're distancing themselves from the company, and perhaps they're walking back to where they were from. Walking back to an old rhythm and way of life. Now, Cleopas and another, probably his wife, for if it was another male, they would most likely be named, and therefore the only acceptable companion of female would be his wife in the culture and society of first century Palestine. Now, Cleopas and a companion are walking away. They're talking with each other, going over all that has happened. Their conversation was no doubt heavy with sorrow, disappointment, confusion over what had come to pass. And as they walk away, they're joined by a third person. Now, we know it's Jesus, but for whatever reason, their eyes are kept from recognizing him. And Jesus is a joker because he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And I love this detail in scripture. It says Cleopas and his companion stood still, looking sad. Jesus' question, in effect, stops them in their tracks. They're stunned into stopping. And Cleopas turns to Jesus and says, "You must be the only person in all of Jerusalem that doesn't know what's gone on here in the last couple of days. And Jesus, the joker, says, what things? And Cleopas says, the events of Jesus from Nazareth, who was condemned to death, was crucified. And hear the sorrow in Cleopas's words. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Hear the heart. They'd pinned all their hope on Jesus, and it hasn't played out the way that Cleopas had hoped. He continues in his answer to Jesus, and hear the confusion. This morning, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb and they couldn't find the body. They came back saying they'd seen angels that told them that Jesus was alive. But some of the men, they went and found it as the women had described, but saw nothing. Jesus interrupts, O foolish ones, and slow of hearts to believe. And then begins perhaps the greatest Bible study that has ever happened, as Jesus takes these two wanderers through the entirety of what we now call the Old Testament, starting with Moses, going through the prophets, showing them how all of Scripture points to Jesus and the events that have happened. Now, as they arrive into the village and to their home, Jesus makes, again a joker, makes as if he is going to continue on the road. And Cleopas and his companion plead Jesus to stop, to spend the night. As they sit down to dinner, Jesus takes bread, it's familiar words, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and passes it to Cleopas and his wife. And in that moment, in the extension of the bread, their eyes are opened. They realize it's Jesus who sits with them, and Jesus disappears. Can you imagine the scene at that dinner table? They look at each other. They probably do a good couple of double takes. And then, in their excitement, they say, didn't our hearts burn within us on the road as he took us through Scripture? Now, they probably grasp at what they can pick up. They make the world's quickest packed lunchbox and they rush out of the house, chucking on their shoes, and they rush back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. The journey away from Jerusalem earlier had been slow. It had been marked with sorrow. Now, after encountering the risen Lord Jesus, they rush back with joy. We have seen the Lord, he is risen. What a story to tell. What a contrast of two journeys. An encounter with the risen Lord turns sorrow to joy, hopelessness to hope, despair to delight. It requires a turning around in a new direction. Which journey are you on this morning? The walk away from hope, disappointed with Jesus and how life is playing out, or on the road marked with enthusiasm, taking the good news to others. The Lord has risen, this news that changes everything, the news that prompts a response. What a story this morning. But what might God want to say to us through his living, breathing word today? What's the encouragement? What's the challenge for each of us? Well, firstly, let me start with a simple observation, because again, Jesus journeys with us and is with us in the most basic everyday moments of life. Jesus joins Cleopas and his companion on the road, on their daily walk, and then later in the breaking of bread around the dinner table. Friends, where do we expect to encounter Jesus today? Not just in church buildings, but in our homes. Not just at an altar table, but around our meals too. Not just on a Sunday hour limited between the hours of 10:30 and 12, but the everyday moments of life, the daily walks, the quiet moments, in the noise of life. Do we live expectantly that in every moment the King of Kings might just want to turn up and surprise us in the ordinary, basic, daily moments of life? The God who cares about the highs and the lows, the good times and the difficult, who knows your every thought and sees your every tear, is present with us always. Are our eyes open to see him and receive him in the everyday basic moments? Secondly, who even are Cleopas and his companion? See, the second person is not even considered to be worth noting the name of. This is the only time we hear of Cleopas in all of Scripture. And yet it is on this walk to these seemingly insignificant travellers that Jesus comes and walks beside. Friends, this morning, do you feel insignificant? Have you been overlooked in the past? You're not the one that always grabs the attention or who the story is always about. But God sees you and he comes to walk with you. See, there's no hierarchy for encounters with Jesus today. He comes to travel with all of us on our roads through life. You're seen. You're known by name. You're loved this morning. And the promise of Scripture is today that God promises to walk with you through every storm, through every high, through every low, this day and forevermore. The world may not have noticed you, but your Heavenly Father sees you. He's for you. See, in our second reading, the one that Megan read for us from Acts this morning, Peter is continuing with this great Pentecost address, the first sermon in Jerusalem. And he's keen to stress in the section we read today that the good news of Jesus is for everyone, not just for the Jews, but for all people that God calls unto himself. The good news of Jesus isn't just for one group of people. It's not just for the religious elite or people who behave a certain way. The offer Jesus gives to know him is open to us all. The offer to know love, peace, hope, joy, acceptance, even amidst the storms now. The invitation is open to everyone. Those overlooked, those who deem themselves unworthy, are seen by the King of Kings. There is no one too insignificant, too broken, too far gone, too hopeless, too bad. Jesus comes and walks beside each of us. Will we recognize him in our midst and choose to walk the rest of our days with him? An encounter with Jesus changes everything. Cleopas and his companion are walking away from Jerusalem. They're despondent. Their hopes are dashed. Sorrow tangibly hangs in the air. Life has taken another unexpected turn. The latest person they put their hopes in seems to have been misguided at best. And they're returning to the village having given up. But an encounter with Jesus changes things. They travelled in sorrow and disappointment, but they return in joy, in hope, and with a message to proclaim. An encounter with Jesus literally turns Cleopas and his companion around. It changes their outlook on life. It moves them into action. As Peter preaches in Jerusalem in Acts, we see there too that an encounter with Jesus, the good news of the gospel, prompts a response. As Peter concludes his sermon, we are told that the crowd were cut to the heart. They asked Peter, "What should we do? How should we respond to this news?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized. For then you will know the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized. Friends, repentance is so much deeper than a quick sorry and moving on. What does God call us to do when we're told to repent? Well, the word for repentance here in the Greek is metanoia, which literally means to turn around. It's not just a sorry and keep going down the same road. No, to repent in biblical terms is literally to do a 180, to turn away from sin and instead to turn to Jesus Christ. It's to start to walk a different road in a different direction. So often, if you're anything like me, we are so quick to say sorry and then continue in the same behaviour in the same direction. You see, actual repentance in terms of scripture requires us to stop, to turn around and live differently. We need to go in a different direction. Where we have walked in sin and sorrow and guilt and dashed hopes, an encounter with Jesus sends us back in a different direction, rejoicing at the offer of forgiveness, with a story to tell of what it means to live forgiven and free. What should we do in response to the good news of Jesus, the crowd ask? Peter says, repent, turn around, turn away from sin and towards Jesus instead, but also to be baptized, be washed clean, make a public declaration that you are all in for Jesus. Now, some of us were baptized as babies, that's my story, but perhaps you're aware now that you want to make a statement of where you're at. Maybe you've come to your own decision to commit your life to Jesus, and you want to mark it in some way. If that's the case, talk to me, message me, DM me. We can have a conversation about that. Perhaps you've not been baptized yet, but you want to say you're all in for Jesus. Again, let's chat about it. Message me, DM me. Let's explore baptism together. Why not use this time in isolation to think about whether you're ready to say you're all in for Jesus? You want to be baptized and mark that commitment to him. Do you want to publicly let the world know you're all in for Jesus? Do you want to mark afresh a recommitment to God in the knowledge that maybe you've not been all in for Jesus recently? Let's talk about it. Why not use this time to explore the best decision you can make? How do we respond? Repent and be baptized, Peter tells the crowd. See, encounters with Jesus prompt a response. You can't be neutral when it comes to the King of Kings. Jesus doesn't give you the option to sit on the fence. He's either the King of Kings or the biggest liar that ever lived. There's not an option to kind of say, well, I like that bit, but not that bit. You can't respond neutrally to Jesus. How are you going to respond today? What's your next move? Do you want to say yes and start a journey through life walking with him? Do you need to actively retake Jesus' hand this morning? You know, sometimes on hill walks, I'm told, or across rockier terrain, there's tricky situations and tricky sections. And sometimes on those tricky sections of the rocky terrain, you sometimes need to take a hold of someone's hand to navigate them. Does right now feel like a rocky section, a difficult terrain? Why not symbolically retake a hold of Jesus's hand this morning? Ask him to help you navigate this difficult season in life. Perhaps on our journey this morning, we need to look around and re-see that Jesus is already actively walking beside us. See, Cleopas and his companion were blind to the reality that they were walking with Jesus on the road. Do you need to be reminded this morning that Jesus is walking with you? He's in front of you to guide you. He's behind you, pushing you along into his purposes for you. But he's also right beside you, walking in step with you. How might you need to respond to Jesus this morning? But I also think there's a slightly different challenge for all of us in the comments that Cleopas and his companion make at the dinner table once Jesus disappears. You see, Cleopas and his companion turn to one another and they say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as Jesus opened up the scriptures to us on the road?" Friends, are we spending time in the Bible? Do our hearts burn within us when we read the living, breathing words of God? Or do we give up too quickly? Do we get confused and shut the book? Do we skim through it quickly and not allow the truth to take root in our hearts? Jesus took Cleopas and his companion through all of the Old Testament. Do you know the narrative of Scripture? Or do you just know your favourite stories, verses and chapters? Someone last year said to me they were a New Testament believer. And I'm not even really sure what that means. Yes, we live this side of the resurrection, but God's truth and faithfulness is revealed in all of Scripture. The super encouraging passages and the ones that are difficult too. The Old Testament is filled with stories of God's faithfulness, of humans trying to walk with God. Stories of God's faithfulness and love. Stories that challenge, but also inspire. Every single verse and chapter of all of Scripture is God-breathed. It teaches us something more about the God we follow. Where are we at with our Bibles? Have you read it? Are you reading it? Why not use this time in isolation to go further in your knowledge and love of the book that changes everything? Perhaps that's something we can commit to do together at these times, that we might ask questions when it's confusing and not just give up, that we would journey together and see too if our hearts burn within us as the Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts through the words that change everything, the living, breathing Word of God. Where are you at in your journey with Jesus? How are you feeling today? Are you like Cleopas and his companion at the start of our reading, walking away from God, hopes crushed, questions everywhere, wondering what the future holds? Or are you running towards others with Jesus, ready to share the good news that changed everything? Or are you somewhere in between? Why not let today be a day where you say yes to turning towards Jesus? Why not let today be the day where you retake his hand in order to navigate the tricky parts of this journey? Why not let today be the day where you say afresh, I'm all in, Jesus? At the end of Peter's sermon, 3,000 people responded. But today in heaven, there's a party for every single person. Every one of us who says yes to Jesus. Is today the day for you? And why not let today be the day where we commit afresh to going deeper in our walks with him? This week, let's commit to reading Scripture more together, that we might know, as Cleopas did, his heart, our hearts burning within us as God whispers his words of hope and peace and love and forgiveness through his eternal word this week. Let's not just get fed up this week in isolation. Let's feed up on the word of God that brings hope and truth and love and joy and purpose. Why not be using this time in isolation to be growing in our walks with him? Amen.